He says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed the truth, so these men... just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men oppose the truth, men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because as in the case of their men, of these men, their folly will be clear to everyone. He said, you, however, know all... So now he's comparing. He says, you, however, know all about me, Paul, who wrote the letter. You, however, know all about my teaching, which would have been the word, right? My way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. Persecutions! Sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters. Who's the evil man and imposter? I think he made it very clear, didn't he? Anyone who's willing to stray from the word. That's what the chapter is about. This whole chapter is about, mark this, it'll be terrible times in the last days. He's not talking to the world, he's talking in the church. He's saying in the last days, people are going to be lovers of themselves, having a form of godliness but denying its power. They're going to be more concerned about their own affairs than the word of God. And the end result is they are imposters. They won't get persecuted. They're already part of the world. They're in adultery with the world. They're in bed with the world. And you didn't really talk about that, preach. You ever read the book of Hosea? No. He says this. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, and then he goes right back to the word. As for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of. And he tells what he's talking about, the word of God. Because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. Well, what Holy Scriptures did he know? He didn't know the New Testament. They didn't have it. I only believe in the New Testament. Forget about it. He's telling you how infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures. He's talking about the Old Covenant. He's talking to Timothy. They didn't have a Bible. They only had the Pentateuch is all they had, the Law and the Prophets. They didn't have any of these scriptures you got right here from Matthew to Revelation. They didn't have any of that. He's saying, look, he says, continue in what you learned. Continue in the scriptures from the Old Testament through the New when it's established. He says this, because you know how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. So he says, look, there's going to be terrible times in the last days. These people are going to make a mockery of the body of Christ because they're willing to compromise from the word. But he says, as for you, you know all about my way of life. You know how I did it. I stuck at the word. You, Timothy, stick at the word, and you're going to get persecuted because of it. People are going to hate you, just like Jesus said. They're not going to like you. You're willing to joke about what they joke about. You're willing to laugh about what they laugh about. They'll accept you because they know that you're not a Christian. Christians don't do that. Can you prove with a scripture? I absolutely can. He said, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes upon those who are disobedient. It's in Ephesians 5. So if you're willing to laugh, you can. Somebody can recognize if you're a Christian or not by what you laugh at. What you joke about. That's a good dividing line, because a lot of people are willing to talk about and joke about things that are ungodly. And God says, don't worry about it. Don't worry. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their prayer. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. 1 Peter 3:12. He says, don't worry about it. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, don't worry. The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Don't worry about it. God knows they're not His children. God knows they're making a mockery of the things of God. Don't worry about it. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions, what they do, they deny Him. They're detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good, Titus 1:15 and 16. Fear God and do what's right. Ecclesiastes 12:13. So we're not going to get through all this tonight. But we need to be aware persecutions are coming. The world is screaming acceptance. And let me explain this to you. The world is screaming for acceptance and tolerance. Tolerance and acceptance. Tolerance and acceptance. But love cannot be separated from justice. It cannot be separated from justice. God is love. One of God's 9 sovereign attributes other than love is also just. He's just. He's justified in everything he does and ever will do. He is just and he's immutable is another one of those attributes he cannot change. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8, that at the end it says, love always protects. The world is screaming for tolerance. He says they parade their sin like Sodom, it says in the Old Testament. It's the same thing to do it today. They have their parades of their sin, trying to force it on everybody else. They're trying to force it into the church. They're trying to force the church to marry them. Unfortunately for them, nobody gets married in the church until they're a 2-year member at this church. I have a right to have that decision. 2-year member. If they're willing to sit in this church for 2 years and listen to me preach against them, it won't happen. They'll get born again. And they won't live in sin anymore. They probably show up about 2-3 times and say, we're going to find another church. It ain't worth it. This guy, it gets hot. It gets hot in this room every time he preaches. What is this heat that I'm feeling? It's the Holy Ghost fire. Amen? Amen. They're trying to force this on us. The persecution will come. The transgender. They got the woman in the library sitting all the little children again for the reading of the new book. And it's about a little boy who's wanted to become a girl and the parents supported it. They're born this way. Yeah, they're born spiritually dead. And they just allowed, instead of training their child in the way they should go and reading the Bible to them and telling them that this is wrong, they allowed it and permitted it and enforced his sin. And now he's going to probably, unless somebody reaches him, possibly could end up in hell over it. And bring a whole bunch of people there with him because of the pulpit that he has, a book. Big pulpit. A lot of people. You'll see the darkness is going to get darker. The idols will get set up. You will find more and more of your coworkers. They'll even set them up. In fact, I'll remember that I said this and come and tell me when it happens. Some of you will have people that you work with set up idols on their desks and at their workplaces. Little idols. Some of you might have already seen that happening. You're going to see it in their homes when you go to people's homes. You're going to see it on street corners. And the end result is because there's the sin. Satan knows that if he can influence people to sin more, it opens up the door for more of the curse to be released into the earth. And the end result is what you see in Revelation. The absolute destruction of everybody on the face of the earth who refuses to obey God. So in order for us to endure the persecution that's coming at us, we need to be very close to Jesus right now. Some of you got one foot in the world, you're playing games with God and you know it. It's not okay. Because if you're doing that with God, the end result is when the persecutions happen, you'll probably just side right there with them because the devil will enter all the way into your heart. He's already got one foot in the door. Got to let go. You got to let go of the adultery of the world. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. He said, the world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live forever. In other words, if you're caught up in the world, he said, the world and its desires, you're going to pass away with it, is what he's saying. But the one who does the will of God, the one who turns from the world, quits committing adultery on God, he said, that person will have... And like Jesus, like he said over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, if we endure, we will reign with him. You'll reign with him. There's great reward for those who are willing to suffer for him. And we're in that generation. People say, I want the rapture to happen first. It's going to happen. But why has he put this message strong in me to warn you that persecution's coming if we're not going to experience it? And it's already happening. It's already happening right here in the United States. It's not a matter of if or how bad it's going to get. It's a matter of when and how bad it will get before the rapture happens. And we need to be prepared for it. And the way we stay strong is we stay very close to God. You make a choice. You make a life or death choice within yourself that no matter what happens, I don't care. Jesus is my Lord and I refuse to compromise. You make a choice. In your heart right now, you make a choice and never go back on it, no matter what. It's a choice. Some of you may not have realized some of these things are going on around the world, but let me tell you something. When they start making TV shows about the devil and making him out to be a good guy, it's just we're real close. Jesus said, recognize the signs of the times. He said, learn this. He said, consider the fig tree and all the trees. He said, when the twigs get tender and their leaves come out, you know that summer is near. He said, even so, when you see these things happening, you know that He, Jesus, is near. He's right at the door. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. So we have to make a choice for Jesus. We have to make a bold stand. You know, we don't retaliate. The world is packing their houses full of ammunition and guns is what they do to protect themselves. They know it's on everybody's lips. It's in the hearts of men. They know that something's about to happen. You can find this out if you don't believe it. You can find out they got underground tunnels that cover just about the entire United States already. Thousands of miles of underground tunnels. They're packing oil, fuel. They're packing ammunition and food and supplies underground. What do they think is going to happen? They know that something's about to happen. The world is full of fear. Even people that claim to be Christians, I know, they carry a gun with them everywhere they go. They're full of fear. Full of fear. They don't believe God will protect them. We talked to the Walmart associate. He said that they cannot keep the ammunition on the shelves. The government keeps buying it all. Why do they keep buying? They want to keep it out of your hands. Why? Because people are full of fear. Something's about to break loose, and they know it. You don't need to have a gun or ammunition. All you need is Jesus. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. It says, perfect love casts off fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. 1 John 4:18. We don't have to have any fear. We have Jesus. And He's right here. Amen? So let's stay close to Him. Don't be like the world running around buying guns. Sell your guns and trust God. Get rid of that mess. Because they already got the military police set up. And when those fear-filled people, when the economy busts and there's no food and the looters and pillagers go out, they're just going to arrest them all. All the fear-filled people that go around trying to loot and pillage and steal break into the stores like on Black Friday, they're all going to get arrested anyways. They're all fools. Don't be like them. Don't be like that. Trust God. Believe God. He will supply your needs. It's easy to say it, but it's another thing to do it. Most of you have never really had an opportunity that you were forced into a position where it was life or death if you believed God. But I've lived that way for years to believe God. I have faith to stand. Do you honestly have the development of your faith to be able to stand what is to come? You need to ask yourself. And if you don't, now would be a good time to start practicing your faith and putting your whole heart into Jesus. I said it's not a matter if it's coming, it's just a matter of when it gets real bad. It's already here. I told you, I sent out the giving statements I prophesied that the persecution was going to start before the end of the year, and it already has started, as soon as they voted in the homosexual rights. I'm telling you now again, and we'll send out another giving statement letter, and I'll tell you what's ready to come for the next year. And if you're smart enough, you'll keep it, and then you can check them off as they happen, because they will happen just like I tell you. It's like they do every year. Every single one of them will come to pass. They're going to start setting up idols. They've already started. You're going to see them a lot of idols. The ugly abominations. And it's just Satan using them to open up the door for more of the curse to come into the earth. He's trying to show God what he can do to God's creation to destroy it. But we don't have to be destroyed with them. So let's get our hearts ready to receive from God. Michelle, if you could put some music on. Let's get our hearts right to receive from Him right now. If you're dealing with any irrational fear, I don't think we're done with this message on fear and persecution yet. Some of you may be more scared than when you came, but I'm telling you, you don't have to fear. God is with you. And a lot of these things, they are scary according to the flesh, but if you will rely on God and believe that He'll protect you and believe that He's there for you, then you don't have to fear. Your lifeline, when all the things start to as the darkness rises and you start to see things getting worse, that the best thing is your church family is going to be your safe place. If I could just open up your eyes to see what's coming, it's coming. I just cannot warn you enough. We need to be prepared. We need to stick close together. There's never been a more important hour. Noah kept warning the people, there's a flood coming, there's a flood coming, and nobody wanted to listen. Only his immediate family listened to him. Out of 4 to 7 billion people, there was only 8 people that got in the ark. I'm telling you to just stay close to God right now. The deception is so incredibly subtle. You'll be surprised at the masses that are deceived at the judgment. Stay close to God. Be ready. Be on guard. Be alert and pray, Jesus said, when it comes to the end times. Be on guard. Be alert and pray. He said, you do not know when that time will come. It's like a man that goes away and puts his servants in charge. Puts one at the door and tells them to keep watch. He says, watch therefore, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come. We need to be watching like one ready to open the door for Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone here. We command all the rational fears to leave them, but I pray that the fear of God would stick with them. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see this truth, and I pray they would take it to heart and it would stick with them, and they would be prepared, and they would remember everything that I warned them, I told them, your word has warned them, and they would be ready. When the hour of darkness comes, when the day of evil comes, they'll be able with the full armor of God to take their stand against the devil's schemes and not be deceived. If there's anything I can advise you to do, now would be a good time to stop doing whatever you like to do and spend time in fasting and prayer to be prepared. I know most of you probably aren't going to do this, but I'm telling you, there's a storm on the horizon. And the best thing you can do to be strong enough to be able to stand when that time comes is to make a season right now. Make it a season that I'm separating from everything to fast and pray and be alone with Jesus. Because He is your strength of your salvation. He's your strength. Let this be a season. Just take a season. It's winter. There's not much going on. Take the next couple months and just lock yourself away with Jesus. See what happens. scripture says, to whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed so that they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. To whom can I speak and give warning? And right now it's just a warning to be prepared. The churches will be full. We're trying to raise up leaders. I'm telling you, it's going to be something else when it breaks loose. They say that the United States is just something like 72 hours or less, 48 hours away from famine. That's how close of an edge that we live on. You don't realize the edge that we live on. The economy's been dropping. They said this is the worst start to the year ever. In China, the Asian market, which is one of the hugest parts of the world's economy, has been constantly dropping. It's dropped thousands of points in the last couple months. It's going to bust loose. People are going to panic. Stay in your houses. Don't even go to the store. It ain't worth it. Be prepared. I know that's not a message. It sounds like it's going to bring much hope, but I'm telling you, there's hope found in Jesus. He's your hope. He's your hope in the midst of persecution. He's the strength and the light of your life. Separate from your friends that are ungodly. If your friends don't go to a good godly church, then they're not really friends at all. The devil's using them to try to take you to hell. Separate. Surround yourself with the right influences. Do good deeds. Start practicing your faith. Help people. Give to the poor. Give your tithes and offerings. Be nice to people. Act like Jesus. Start telling people about Jesus. Nobody's listening. That's a lie. I got people, multiple people born again in the last week. Just to stop for a second and ask them a question. They're open to it. In the last couple weeks. So people are listening. They're willing to listen. Send out letters. If you're scared to witness to your family, bring stamps and put them in the offering bucket. I'll do it for you. Give me their addresses. I'll do it for you. I don't mind doing it. Don't mind doing it. I won't even put your name on it. They won't even know who it came from. They don't know who I am. I will do it for you. Bring me all the addresses. I want every one of your families. Don't send them to me on the text. They're going to get lost. Write them down. Write down your family's addresses. I'll even do the letters and everything. Bring some stamps and bring them on in. I will send the letters out for you. 50-50 shot at getting them saved from one letter. It's worded just right. It puts them in a place where they got to make a choice. So I encourage you all, spend much time praying in tongues. Everyone say, pray in tongues.
Pray in tongues.
Spend a lot of time praying in tongues. You can't do it enough. Spend a lot of time reading the Word. And I really, the most powerful thing that I can tell you could do right now is fast. I know you like to eat. So do I. But a choice needs to be made. We got to make God's priorities our priorities and sacrifice some things. So we can be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. The more you fast, the longer you fast, the more you're going to hear clearly from God. You're going to break down strongholds off your life that have been lingering for years. You just can't seem to break free. You can't seem to get that prayer answered. You start to fast long enough, those prayers are going to start pouring in. Get the flesh down under the operation of the Spirit. Rota makia makasi ele mo fre makasi ke blonda ma fra fra ke se ele mo mra ki remo se kian lo tomar ba ke se ke klondo bra bra ke se te ke londo ba bra ke se rem blonda ke blamba na ke se ke klombra. He said this, it's those who walk in my light that will see clearly. for their perception is not distorted. But my light shines. My light shines bright within and illuminates them in the direction that they should go. So stay in my light. Reject all darkness and cling to the armor of light, says the Lord. For the fruit of the light is consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Do that which pleases me. And as you walk in my light, I will give you eyes that you can see, and you will be able to discern what is best and approve of what is holy and pure. I will show you that which is ahead, and I will give you all the strength that is necessary for you to endure, says the Lord. So build yourselves up in my light. Build yourselves up and produce the fruit of righteousness so that others can see it and long to pick from your tree, says the Lord. For it's those who bear fruit that is obvious that others long for. Because it's my fruit that they can see, says the Lord. I wish I could just open you up to see what is to come. And I'm not the only one in the land that knows it, senses it, sees it. We got to be prepared. I'm ready. I have absolutely no concern for me and my household, but I'm very concerned for everybody else. I am not concerned about myself. I'm concerned about everyone else. I'm ready. But most people think they're ready, and they're not ready for what's to happen. It's going to be really bad. So again, I just want to encourage you to take warning and make this a season of prayer and fasting. Don't be led by what you feel. You'll leave this place and tomorrow everything's going to feel warm and fuzzy again. It's just a feeling. Be led by the Spirit. Be led by your heart. What's your heart telling you to do? Not what you feel. Your feelings will always lead you astray. That's Satan's playground, is the emotional realm. He likes to produce and induce feelings and emotions of pleasure and joy when things should be weeping and sorrow, like James said in James 4 through 8. This whole generation's led by what they feel. It's like as long as the wind blows. As soon as the wind blows, they're led one way or another by their feelings. Don't be like that. Be led by your heart. Listen to your heart. Don't listen to your head. Listen to your heart. Don't listen to your emotions. Has anybody ever backslid and then felt real good? They felt real like everything was okay when you start the backslide? I'll tell you why. Because Satan produces those emotions to deceive you, to make you think you're getting away with it. But just a matter of months goes by and you find out everything's not so well. It's because you were led by your feelings. Be led by your heart. Be led by the Spirit.